TED Audio Collective.
Have you ever been in a blackout? Maybe you were at home playing music on the speaker, possibly doing some vacuuming while a load of laundry hums along in the background. Or maybe you were in the subway, commuting to work with thousands of other people when suddenly everything goes dark. Your music stops, or your vacuum stops, or your train car stops. It can be kind of peaceful under the right circumstances, but you definitely wouldn't want it to happen regularly. And thanks to the intricate system we know as the power grid, it generally doesn't. But exactly how does that work? And what opportunities do we have to make it better? I'm Sherelle Dorsey. This is TED Tech. And today, we'll be getting some answers to those questions from TED Ed speaker Henry Richardson. Let's dive in.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
On February 7, 1967, Homer Lautzenhäuser flipped a switch in Nebraska and realized a dream more than five decades in the making. The power grids of the United States joined together, forming one interconnected machine stretching coast to coast. Today, the U.S. power grid is the world's largest machine. It contains more than 7,300 electricity-generating plants, linked by some 11 million kilometers of power lines, transformers, and substations. Power grids span Earth's continents, transmitting electricity around the clock. They're massive feats of engineering, but their functioning depends on a delicate balance. Their components must always work in unison, maintain a constant frequency throughout the grid, and match energy supply with demand. If there's too much electricity in the system, you get unsafe power spikes that can overheat and damage equipment. Too little electricity, and you get blackouts. So, to strike this balance, power grid operators monitor the grid from sophisticated control centers. They forecast energy demand and adjust which power plants are active, signaling them to turn their output up or down to precisely meet current demand. By considering factors like the availability and cost of energy resources, grid operators create a dispatch curve, which maps out the order in which energy sources will be used. The grid defaults to using energy from the start of the curve first. Usually, the resources are ordered by price. Those at the start tend to be renewables because they have much lower production costs. Some grids, like those in Iceland and Costa Rica, run on more than 98% clean energy. But most dispatch curves contain more of a mix of carbon-free and carbon-emitting energy sources. This means that where your electricity is coming from and how clean it is varies throughout the day, as often as every few minutes. Take the state of Kansas. Despite having plentiful wind resources, it regularly relies on carbon-emitting power plants. This is because wind energy is especially plentiful at night, but this is also when there's lower demand. So Kansas's wind energy is actually regularly disposed of to prevent excess electricity from damaging the grid. And comparable scenarios add up to a big problem worldwide. Thankfully, dependence on renewables is rising, but power grids are often unable to make full use of them. Many simply weren't designed around intermittent energy sources and can't store large amounts of electricity. Researchers are experimenting with unique storage solutions. However, this will take time and substantial investment. But hope is not lost. We have the opportunity to work with our existing power grids in a new way. by shifting some of our energy use to the times when there's clean electricity to spare. Leaning into this concept, called load flexibility, we can help flatten the peaks in demand, which will place less stress on the grid and reduce the need for non-renewables. So, researchers are developing automated emissions reduction technologies that tap into energy use data and ensure that devices get electricity from the grid at the cleanest times. In fact, smart devices like this already exist. So how big an effect could they have? If smart technologies like air conditioners, water heaters, and electric vehicle chargers were implemented across the Texas power grid, the state's emissions could decrease by around 20%. In other words, simply coordinating when certain devices tap into the grid could translate to 6 million fewer tons of carbon released into the atmosphere annually from Texas alone. Now, imagine what this could look like on a global scale.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
TED Tech is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced by Isabel Carter, who also wrote it with me, Sherelle Dorsey. Our editor is Jimmy Gutierrez, and the show is fact-checked by Christiane Aparta. Special thanks to Farah DeGrunge for her support as a project manager. I'm Sherelle Dorsey. Let's keep digging into the future. Join me next week for more.